Now more Mundo on 710 KCMO.
Coming up in a couple of minutes, we are going to be joined by Mitch Margot, attorney and author at a St. Louis. His new book, Black Hearts, White Minds, a story about the civil rights era in the Deep South. He's going to react to this crazy Starbucks story. Now it's 175,000 employees are going to be involved with sensitivity training, anti-bias training after the fallout in Philadelphia. Just insanity. But let's wrap it up with you guys and have a quick good morning and say hello to Mike. What's going on, Mike? You're on 710 KCMO.
Hey, just calling to comment on some of the remarks that are being made or the story about the Starbucks deal. I'm not quite sure why you're calling it a crazy thing that's going on with Starbucks.
Crazy
in your opinion?
Well, it's crazy because you have a situation where one female Asian employee held up the rules of her own store, and now 175,000 people have to go to anti-bias training. That makes no sense to me.
Well, no, that's a description of the situation. I'm asking what about it doesn't make sense, because it was one person, or is it because there's an issue now that's in the news about implicit bias and its effects on people regardless of the setting?
Well, Mike,
even if it's at a private store.
No, Mike, I think the only reason Starbucks is doing this is to protect its own backside from the fallout from the political left. That's the only reason I believe they're going forward with this, not because they inherently believe that Starbucks employees are racist.
No, I don't think that they're racist. I think the issue that was being raised by the company was something about implicit bias. So there's no malintent. They're not saying that the employee that they've got was malicious or anything. They were saying that, you know, they just want to make sure their employees are aware that whether there's some implicit bias or some unconscious prejudice that they might have might affect what they do that would then affect their business overall. I don't think that's a big deal per se.
Yeah,
I mean, I've gone into Starbucks before and not ordered anything and sat there for a meeting with other people. I think that's the story that was coming out about this deal.
Yeah,
and I've not been, you know, nobody called the police on me.
No, well,
I'm
Mike, also
I'm a white guy.
Yeah, Mike, and I see what you're saying, Mike. I do, but and I appreciate the call. We're gonna get to Mitch here in a second, but the thing with this is that rule is not a company-wide rule for Starbucks. It is on a case-by-case, store-by-store basis. No, I'm not sure which Starbucks you were in. But in Philadelphia, which this is an area from what I was reading yesterday that does have a lot of homeless people in it. There's a McDonald's in the same area that doesn't have that rule, and they have homeless people using the bathroom. So Starbucks, on a case-by-case, store-by-store basis, at this store decided that's a rule. But now nearly 200,000 people have to go to sensitivity or anti-bias training for it. That doesn't make sense to me. Now let's welcome in Mitch Margot, St. Louis-based attorney and author. His new book, Black Hearts, White Minds, as it's a story about the civil rights era in the Deep South. Mitch, appreciate a few minutes. When we talk about this training that in Starbucks employees are going to have to go to, implicit bias, whatever it might be, how do you assess where this is going for the company?
Good morning, Pete. Well, it's easy to assess for the company because Starbucks is a very good company, and they wouldn't make a decision that they didn't think was in their best economic interest. So I find it interesting that you keep saying that they have to go to training, but what could be wrong with sensitivity training?
Well, Mitch, the way I look at it is you're going to give up a full day of revenue. You're going to close 8,000 stores. You're going to inconvenience 200,000 people. And on top of that, you have maybe thousands of black employees that have to go to this sensitivity training. And to me, that's pretty insulting to them.
I think sensitivity training should be colorblind. The black employees should be as moved by it, and it should be as important to them as any white employees. I think Mike made a good point when he said, I don't see any white customers of Starbucks coming forward and saying, this happened to me too in Cincinnati or Grand Rapids. It's just, why only black people?
Well, there's one black person that we know of, Mitch. It's such an isolated incident. Now we had one in Los Angeles, but it doesn't feel to me like this is a widespread problem in Starbucks just yet to inconvenience nearly 200,000 people.
I agree with you that one instance doesn't prove implicit bias, and unconscious bias is hard to prove generally. You need a larger sample, but if you look at studies that show that doctors, who I don't think doctors are overtly racist by any means, but there are some studies that show that they prescribe different drugs for their African-American patients than their white patients, then you start to wonder, well, is there an implicit bias?
So how then, what's the best way, Mitch, if you were to look at this and say, you know, this is good that Starbucks is doing this, what can they take, what can the employees take out of one day of training to try to improve the business model for Starbucks if there is no political angle that the company might be playing?
I don't know about a political angle, but I think companies act in their best economic interest, and I hope that people can take away even just one day of training, take away some important ideas on how to treat customers equally. I've been through a day of training and in my business life, and I look at it as a valuable day, not a wasted day.
Mitch Margo is our guest, a St. Louis-based attorney and author. His new book, Black Hearts, White Minds, a story about the civil rights era in the Deep South. So, Mitch, from the Starbucks perspective, this happens. There's a big fallout from various groups about how to handle it and what should have been done, what hasn't been done. Even though we don't have the whole story yet, we have yet to hear from the manager of this Starbucks. We played the 911 call. It was handled pretty professionally. So from your perspective, with race in this country, is there a systemic bias, and how is it best handled?
Well, I think race is still a dramatic problem for the United States, maybe its biggest problem. In my book, back in 1964, there'd be a sign on the front of the restaurant that says, "No Negroes allowed." Today in Philadelphia, in that particular Starbucks, there's a kind of sign that says, "Blacks are not welcome here." So you have to wonder, even though it's a different sign, a different kind of sign, it's the same message, and we need to overcome that.
Well, Mitch, that's a pretty big statement there to say that there's a quasi sign outside of the Starbucks saying blacks aren't welcomed here. If these gentlemen walked in and if they wanted to use the bathroom and if they said, "Hey, here's a dollar for the Philadelphia Inquirer," they would have been given that bathroom key. How is that relevant, or how does that correlate to having a semi of a sign outside saying that blacks are not welcomed?
Well, I think, Pete, you're making the assumption that if all those things had happened, it'd have been treated in a certain way. And I think, as you correctly pointed out just before that, we don't know all the facts yet. We don't know what happened with this particular manager. Mm-hmm. And as the story unfolds and continues to go viral, there'll be more out there for us to learn. But this particular Starbucks is having a tough time of it right now, I think.
But does it help that, you know, there have been, in your opinion, Mitch, you know, all these protests outside of this Starbucks, they're trying to shut it down, they're trying to close off its business, when it could have been, there may have been a mistake by an employee? We, once again, don't have all the technical facts, but how is protesting the business of Starbucks the right way to go about this?
I think it's the way it's happening right now, Pete. This is not a situation that was created by really these two African-American gentlemen who were in there waiting for their friends. This was a situation that is unusual. That's why we're all covering it. That's why it's of interest out there by you and everybody else in the media right now. It's not something that happened systemically, or we'd have heard more. I believe there are a couple of other situations that are coming to light and people are complaining. But Here we are. We've got a situation, and this is an opportunity to bring it to the public. And again, the fact that Starbucks is taking such extraordinary measures, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Mitch Margo, our guest. Mitch, you know, when you look at where we are right now in society, where we are as a culture, I think there's no doubt, yes, there are racists in America. And it's my belief that there will always be racists in America on a very small number, at a very small level, of all different colors. There are going to be white people that don't like black people, and the reverse will be true, include Asians and whatever it might be. So are we chasing our own tail here in some ways? Because I don't believe in 2018, if you're a racist, you're going to be a racist in 2028. You're going to be a racist in 2038. Are we chasing our own tail and making this story way more bigger and way more divisive than it needs to be?
I don't think so, Pete, because first, I think that's a view that I don't share, that a person who's a racist can't change. I think we can change. But what's most scary right now in this moment in history, to me anyway, is the fact that when you say there's a small percentage of racists, I think you're right, But until very recently, they didn't march in the streets of, for instance, Charlottesville with swastikas and anti-Jewish and anti-black signs. I don't think we should slide back to 1964. I wrote about that time in Black Hearts, White Minds. I don't want to go back.
Mitch, I understand not wanting to go back. No one's looking to go back to that at all. But when you think about sensitivity training, if you were running a course or in a class with somebody that you knew was a racist, right? How do you get I don't think you sit there with a couple of PowerPoint slides and say, here's why you shouldn't be a racist and go down 1 through 10. I think it has to come from personal experience, personal responsibility, where something you have a come to Jesus moment and you say, you know what? I've been wrong about this my whole life. I don't think there's any kind of presentation that someone's going to give you on a PowerPoint that's going to say, you know what? You're right. I've been a racist my whole life. I really can't. This is wrong. So how do you do this in a classroom setting like what the Starbucks employees are going to be going through?
I agree with you 100%. Racism and discrimination is hating an entire group of people when you don't even know those people.
Yeah.
And it has to be done on a one-on-one basis. I'm hopeful that this sensitivity training involves more than PowerPoint slides. It also will involve getting to know somebody of a different color or a different religion. Because, Pete, you're absolutely right. The way we get rid of discrimination, which equals ignorance, is on a one-on-one basis. Because if you know someone who's African-American and you know that person and like that person, then you can no longer say, I hate all African-Americans or I hate all Jews or all Muslims, because you know one, and that particular one is just like you in so many ways.
Well, Mitch, your book, Black Hearts, White Minds, how did you come out with the title of that book?
Well, black hearts are cold. White minds can be static and unfeeling. And when you put the two together, you have a very dangerous combination, and that's what the book is about.
Mitch, great stuff. Looking forward to it, and appreciate you joining us for a few minutes.
Thank you, Pete. This has been delightful.
There you have it, St. Louis-based attorney and author Mitch Margo joining us here on 710 KCMO. Pete Mundo with you. We'll get reaction to that from you guys. Really interesting discussion there with Mitch. Didn't really agree, but we had a polite, pleasant, and respectful conversation. Something there's not enough of these days. How about that? 5767710, 5767710.